Today is Reformation Sunday. The scripture lessons are from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28, and the Gospel of John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Hear from the Holy Scriptures, Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of our Lord. Today's message is titled, "Remember, so as not to forget." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy Word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that Word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Setting atop of a hill in the northeast is a monument. It stands 81 feet tall and it's carved entirely out of granite. This monument is thought to be the largest solid granite monument all across the world. Though I lived in the Northeast for a few years while my dad was stationed at Hanscom Air Force Base and visited the many monuments and historical places throughout the Boston area, even visiting Plymouth, I was not aware of this monument. Even though I was so close to it, I was not aware of it. There's a monument dedicated in August 1st, 1889. It's first known as the Pilgrim Monument. It is now known as the National Monument to the Forefathers. A brief description of the monument for you if you aren't familiar with it or even never heard of it. Up top, standing tall on the monument, 36 feet tall, is a figure called Faith. Faith's right hand is raised to God, pointing to heaven. In her left hand is the Geneva Bible. Beneath Faith are morality, law, education, liberty, four more sculptured figures. Morality, education, liberty, law. Morality looks towards faith with a breastplate representing the 12 tribes of Israel, holding the Ten Commandments in one hand and the scroll of Revelation in her other hand, representing the sacred scriptures of the Old and New Testament. That's morality. Law shows the civil law is based on morality set forth in the sacred scriptures, with faith in God essential to freedom. Education is that the people must be educated in the law and its foundations, which is the scriptures. Liberty is the fruit of following and living in the pattern set before. There is much more symbolism in this monument, pointing to the truth of freedom and liberty that faith stands upon. These are some of the words from the dedication, spoken at the dedication, quoting, "In the name of the fathers, we dedicate this monument in ourselves. For ages it will stand the enduring witness to grave and resolute conduct, to privations and sacrifices, to thrift and frugality, to domestic love and unaffected piety, to rectitude in thought as well as in life, to earnest principles and true beliefs, to Christian fidelity and faith." A little farther on in it, "Here and now we rededicate ourselves to a more fervent love for man as man, to a braver allegiance to truth for truth's sake, and this in the name of God. And amen and amen." Spoken by William C.P. Breckinridge at the 1889 dedication of the monument. Monuments, they're built to last. They're built to last, so they built to last so that we will remember. We go to the monuments and remember why the monument was built with all its symbolism. Holidays, they're set on the yearly calendar so that we remember. Buildings and places are named such that we remember. Why is the name there? Because we will remember the person it is named. Why is the place named such? Because we will remember what happened there. Tearing down monuments is to cause people to forget. Renaming holidays is to cause people to forget. Renaming buildings and places is to cause people to forget. To cause people to forget who they were and where they came from, so as to rewrite history and change them by disconnecting them from what actually happened, to be able to mold them into something that can only happen when being disconnected from and forgetting their moral and faith history. Remember so as not to forget. Remember when Lincoln's and Washington's birthdays were celebrated on their respective birthdays as holidays, now combined as President's Day, lessening the lessons to be remembered from these two pillars of Christian faith. Yes, Christian faith and freedom. How many still pause on December 7th? And if you say December 7th to someone, will they remember? How about June 6th? Do you pause for June 6th? Remember who provided the slaves for the slave trade? Wasn't it on the African coast? Wasn't it the tribes of Africa conquering other tribes and enslaving them and selling them for the slave trade? Remember who put an end to the slave trade, giving their lives on the high sea? It was the English, the armies of the English Navy and the men of the Navy, because of the Christian faith principally of William Wilberforce and his 20-year crusade to end and abolish slavery, his Christian faith. Columbus Day. Large attempts are being made to erase it by calling it Indigenous Day. Do you know where the name Caribbean comes, as in the Caribbean Sea, Caribbean Islands? The name Caribbean, it comes from the tribe of the people who lived there. They were known as Carib. And to give you a good idea of their behavior, the English word cannibal was derived there to describe their behavior. Maya, Inca, Aztec, all did child sacrifices by the thousands. And these lands to the north, they were no paradise either, full of war and conquest and wiping out of whole tribes of people, annihilated. And I'm not saying that word right, but I'll give it a try again. Annihilated, there we go, annihilated by these wars before the pilgrims even arrived. And before those subsequent settlements were pushing west over the Allegheny Mountains into the frontier. Remember, so as not to forget. This takes active participation with a daily emphasis. Just a few examples of my own life of forgetting. Years ago, I could play on the piano The Entertainer, Joplin's Jazz, The Entertainer. I had memorized it. But the years have passed and taken their toll, and I can play bits and pieces. I used to have Moonlight Sonata memorized, or Day by Day from Godspell, and Prepare the Way from Godspell. They were all memorized, but not remembered regularly. So in essence, I've forgotten them. I'd have to pull the music out and practice. And I don't want to talk about math. I used to be able to do in my head, or also with pencil and paper, differential equations, also known as diff-eqs, for they are quite difficult, integrals, derivatives, matrices, statistics, physics, statics. I mean, all these things of mechanical or electrical or aeronautical engineering, I could do regularly. But without that regular remembering, so as not to forget, in all honesty, don't ask me to do math that much. I have forgotten. Not to mention history lessons either. How much have you forgotten by not regularly remembering? As philosopher George Santayana says, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. How much is this generation not learning in the first place to even be able to remember? Since the average person years ago did not read, and even the educated did not read much directly from the Holy Scriptures, what Paul had wrote, much had been forgotten. Today we can see for ourselves how often Paul wrote about Christ crucified and the grace by faith which justifies through the finished work of Christ. We open the Bible to Romans, we see it. For those who could read through the years of the Middle Ages, mostly they didn't know Latin if they could read, and they didn't know Greek or Hebrew, which the Holy Scriptures were written in. So they had no ability to read for themselves the word of the Lord in the Holy Scriptures. Thus, they relied upon the priests to present the word of God faithfully and true. But the reality is, the priests mostly didn't know Latin, Hebrew, or Greek. It was only the scholars. So even the priests didn't read the word of God for themselves. Oh, excuse me. Over the years, relying more on what others had written, because they're easier to read, and about what the Scriptures had said. So I'd read what so-and-so read about the Scriptures, who so-and-so read about the Scriptures, who's and so-and-so talk. You see how down the line it got farther and farther from the Word of God. Instead of going directly to the Scriptures and quoting the Scriptures, things became muddled. So-and-so said so-and-so about so-and-so saying so-and-so about so. You see how the chain built. And so things become muddled. As the years piled on, this muddledness became error. It became error. Instead of what did the Scriptures say, it became what the council said in year such and such, or what the Pope said in such and such, and so forth. Or this Pope said to this Pope, to this council, to this, and it became muddled. It became error. The finished work of Christ on the cross was replaced with doing things to shorten the time in purgatory. And even that place named purgatory came to be only talked about in the years of that you'll serve in purgatory for the offenses, or the years off for veneration of relics to reduce the years. Purgatory, all that only started to be talked about in 1170 AD. That's what historians point to when the term purgatorium was first mentioned. 1170 AD, the term purgatorium first mentioned. It's this sinfulness of life must be made pure before entering into the glories of heaven. And a place must be, for this to happen, purgatorium. Notice how this perspective ignores the finished work of Christ on the cross. How this disregards Christ's own words. John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Two different Greek words are here, and they're both translated as free. The first one is a verb. The second one is an adjective. Free. The verb free is to make free. And also incorporated that is the meaning exempt from liability. You're free. No more liability. This means to be set free from any legal responsibility. It also means release from bondage. You're truly set free. Also figuratively means release from the bondage of sin because delivered by God into spiritual liberty. The phrase, which is the second free, is in the Greek, that adjective, is indeed free you will be. So that's the Greek word order of the phrase that you find the word free in, the adjective free. It's indeed free you will be. The word translated as indeed means truly, exists as a reality. The reality is free you are. Your very existence, your very being is free. The Son of God has done this. How can there be any purgatorium? How can there be purgatory if the Son of God has set you free? The Son, Christ Jesus, has in actual reality set you free from the liability and bondage of sin. Free means free. Luther desired to debate this in posting the 95 Theses. Luther begins, and this is from the 95 Theses. This is how they begin. Out of love and zeal for truth, and the desire to bring it to light, the following thesis will be publicly discussed at Wittenberg under the chairmanship of the Reverend Father Martin Luther, Master of Arts in Sacred Theology, and regularly appointed lecturer on these subjects at that place. He requests that those who cannot be present to debate orally with us will do so by letter. Out of zeal, out of love, out of zeal for truth. Really let that sink in. He did this out of the love and zeal for truth. Loving truth, zeal for truth. He wants all this to be brought to light. Love, zeal, truth, light. There was no desire to debate, no desire to engage, to seek the love or seek the truth or show to light. Instead, they decided to cancel Luther, excommunicate, burn his writings, and so forth. Not so different than today. There is no love and zeal for truth today. Is there? Is there love and zeal for truth in the mainstream media? Instead, cancel, deplatform. Here's an example. This just happened Saturday to one of the most respected doctors in the world, a top cardiologist and epidemiologist. One of the most respected doctors in the world, top cardiologist and epidemiologist. His name is Dr. McCullough. His license was just revoked for speaking about the dangers of the COVID vaccines. Instead of engaging in debate and search for truth, he writes, "I was terminated as the editor-in-chief of Cardiorenal Medicine and Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine." He was editor-in-chief of this journal. After years of service and rising impact factors, there was no phone call, no board meeting, no due process, just emails or certified letters. Powerful dark forces are working in academic medicine to expunge any resistance to the vax. Yesterday, I was stripped of my board certifications in internal medicine and cardiology after decades of perfect clinical performance, board scores, and hundreds of peer-reviewed publications. It's a clear demonstration human nature has not changed. Go against the prevailing powers, you become a persona non grata. As Lord Acton stated years ago, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's the dystopia of Orwell's 1984 with erasing and rewriting of history, propaganda, disinformation. Boy, we hear that word a lot lately, disinformation. Denial of truth, also known as doublethink in the book, and unperson a person. Luther, through excommunication, was declared unperson. Dr. McCullough has now, this day and age, has been declared unperson. That's why. That's why it is so important to remember and not forget. Remember so as not to forget. By Luther bringing back the emphasis of salvation in Christ's finished work on the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ was brought back into the church. Christ paid the price in full, and there is no further work that one must do to be saved. Christ has done the work, and you receive the benefit of Christ's work. How? By faith. Lecturing on Romans chapter 1 in the year 1515 and 1560, Luther was doing this, lecturing, going through the book of Romans. Chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, they puzzled him. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 from the NASB translation. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" Live by faith? Not by one's own works, so as to attain righteousness? Rather, by faith that brings you to Christ. Faith brings you to Christ, whose perfect righteousness justifies the sinner. It is Christ's righteousness, a righteousness from God that justifies and is yours in you by faith. Luther's eyes were opened and a whole new life was coming to him. by this understanding growing in Luther. It took a while for it to grow, but it grew. And it came about by going back to the original Greek. Luther recognized the connection of righteousness of God and the righteous by faith will live. The same Greek root origin word, dikaios. Dikaios. Righteousness of God. It's from the root word dikaios. Righteous by faith will live. Righteous. Dikaios. The righteousness of God and the righteousness we live by is connected. Luther's words, Luther's own words. Night and day I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God and the statement that the just shall live by his faith. Then I grasped that the justice of God is that righteousness by which through grace and sheer mercy God justifies us through faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. The whole of Scripture took on a new meaning. And whereas before the justice of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love. This passage of Paul became to me a gate to heaven. And that's from Baton's book, Here I Stand, A Life of Martin Luther. A little later in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. The redemption that came by Christ Jesus, God presented himself as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Christ's finished work on the cross as the sacrifice atonement, not indulgences or works that we do ourselves. It is Christ and Christ alone who saves. Justification by faith alone is the heart of the Reformation. Justified by faith alone through what Christ has done on the cross. It's the heart of the gospel. And to compromise would be to deny the gospel and the finished work of Christ on the cross. I've touched on much this morning, drawing from history, math, music, or more, to show you. Remember, so as not to forget, applies across all spheres of life. Pull out your old high school yearbooks. Go through the pictures and see how quickly the memories come back to you. Remember so as not to forget. Luther influenced all of life, all of these same categories of history, music, with the desire for education for all, especially instruction in reading, so that all, anyone, could read the Bible for themselves. Tyndale, who lived before Luther, had begun putting the Bible into the English language and was burned at the stake as a heretic for doing so by the Roman Catholic Church. Luther, hidden away while in Wartburg Castle as Knight George, translated the New Testament from the Greek into German so the people could read for themselves this good news. The just will live by faith. It is a gift from God. The influence of Luther extended beyond the church into and out all aspects of daily life. And it was Luther's influence which really enabled Western civilization to come into being with freedom as its main aspect. Because Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And a little before that, Jesus says this, beginning at verse 31 in John chapter 8. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that emphasis of truth, which Western civilization sought for, but isn't right now doing, but which did. And also, the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Truth and freedom. And the words of Christ is what brought Western civilization about. I want you to know, it's written in Romans chapter 1. It captured Luther, and I hope it captures you too. Again, this is from the North American Standard Bible, 1995 translation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Remember so as not to forget. Monuments, building names, all these different things are put in place to remember so as not to forget. The culture that's tearing them down is doing it intentionally. So you forget and don't remember who you are and where you came from, which is Christ. Faith in Christ. And the freedom that comes only through Christ. That's what built Western civilization. And it is Christ who sets you free. So if the Son has set you free, and Jesus Christ has done this in the finished work of the cross, in reality, you really are free. And how is this yours? By what you do? No, it's yours by faith. By faith. It's a wonderful gift from God. Remember, so as not to forget. Amen. And amen.